And thanks to all of you for coming out this Saturday night in Salt Lake City. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emails at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Agnati Mirandasyangana Gana Salakya Chaksurin Miritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Swaparantikam. Because our topic this evening has to do with issues of fairness, I chose this story to start off. A socialist once came to see Andrew Carnegie and was soon railing against the unfairness of Carnegie having so much money. In his view of fairness, wealth was meant to be divided equally. Carnegie asked his secretary for an assessment of everything he owned and at the same time to look up the figures on world population. He did a little arithmetic on a pad and then said to his secretary, "Give this gentleman 16 cents. That's his share of my wealth." Our topic today is entitled, "It's Not Fair." We all go through situations that seem unfair. It seems unfair that somebody could lie about you and get away with it. It seems unfair that your sister has children and that you can't. It seems unfair that you have to raise a special needs child, or unfair that you lost someone who is near and dear to you. Life has thrown you a curved ball. Not everything is going according to plan. Here's what I've learned. Although life is not always fair, God or Krishna is fair. We need to keep our trust, keep from getting bitter, from getting stuck, keep moving forward. Krishna is going to pay you back for everything that happened. Don't let one bad break ruin the rest of your life. One divorce, one sickness, one bankruptcy, one loss of a loved one, one bad childhood. Don't let any of that keep you from an amazing future. What has happened may have put you at a disadvantage. They played politics. You didn't get that promotion. The company let you go after years and years of faithful service. Your parents didn't have time for you growing up. Someone abandoned you when you needed them the most. Our message today is what they did or didn't do cannot stop your destiny. They don't have the final say. Krishna has the final say. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita by that same Lord Krishna, "One who does good is never overcome by evil." Elsewhere in scripture says there may be weeping in the night, but the joy of the sunrise comes in the morning. Nothing that happens to you is a surprise to Krishna. In the Gita it says, "Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana." I know past, present, and future. I know the restoration. I know the vindication. I see the new beginning. All of that lined up out in front of you. Just keep a good attitude. Many years ago, when I was a life membership director in Los Angeles, one Marathi fellow who was an accountant with a big firm came every Sunday with his wife without fail. Extremely devoted. His name was Pramod God. Lo and behold, one Sunday he came to say that his supervisor, who had never liked him, laid him off. He was without a job all of a sudden. For 1 year, he went to company after company after company, submitting resumes here and there. But because that supervisor had written a bad reference for him, he couldn't get a job. He didn't complain. He didn't have a pity party. He didn't talk about how unfair it was. He kept coming to the temple week after week after week. After 1 year, he came with the story that the supervisor who had done him in was not only fired by the company, but his dealings were discovered. The unfair way in which Pramod had been treated came to light. The company asked Pramod to come back in that supervisory position with a higher salary and higher benefits. Things may not be fair, but ultimately God himself is fair. Here's a quote from the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvata panipadam tat sarvata tsid siromukam sarvata shruti maloke sarvam avrita tishtati. Everywhere, Krishna says to Arjuna, are my hands and feet, my eyes, heads and faces, and I have ears everywhere. In this way, I exist as a super soul pervading everything in this world. Krishna sees it every time that you get taken advantage of. He sees it every time that you take the high road and just let it go. Every time you work hard and didn't get the credit, Krishna sees that. He's closely watching. You have an account with him. And eventually, if you keep the right attitude, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He will pay you back with interest. He will pay you back for that childhood you didn't have. He will pay you back for those years lost in an abusive relationship, for that credit that you didn't get earlier with interest abundantly. I heard about a soldier who broke his glasses during basic training. He taped them together and then he applied for a new set, requisitioned the quartermaster. He didn't get them, so he applied again when he got to his advanced training. He didn't get them. And then he applied a third time when he got to his unit assignment. Didn't get them. Then again, just a few months before his discharge, 4 years later, he applied again. After he got home, and he'd been back home for 6 months, a parcel post arrived at his door with 5 sets of eyeglasses marked Rush. Your reward is on the way. As for now, shake off the self-pity. Shake off the defeat. Get ready for something new. Krishna is going to pay you back for every injustice. He sees every wrong that's ever been done to you. Every person that hurt you. Every tear that you shed. Every lonely night that you spent. There comes a point where the Lord says, enough is enough. Now I'm going to step in and do something about it. He's not at that time going to give you just what you deserve, but he's going to make the enemy pay and bring you out twice as well off as you were before. Dhruva Maharaj was wronged. As a 5-year-old boy, he was prohibited from getting up on the lap of his stepfather. He had been cheated of his kingdom. What could he do as a 5-year-old boy in the palace to redress this wrong, this injustice? You all know the story about how he went into the forest and did austerities, and ultimately he was awarded a kingdom equal to that of his grandfather, Lord Brahma. He rules over the North Star, or the Pole Star, which is the brightest shining and the first appearing star in the night. And yet when he was awarded a kingdom that was vaster than his father's or even his grandfather's, he declared that I was looking for pieces of broken glass, but instead I got a valuable jewel. Why did he say that? In the process of awarding his desires, the Lord himself appeared before Dhruva Maharaj. And once his eyes feasted on the beautiful transcendental form of the Lord, he realized that he had been looking for garbage when standing before him was the most valuable jewel. Krishna not only rewarded him, but rewarded him to the point where he didn't even want the reward. He was regretful and shameful that he had asked for something material, when in fact, if he could have asked for something, he would simply ask for the darshan, the association of the Lord. Well, true, you don't know my situation. I'll grant it that you may have had more than the average of bad breaks. But don't get all down and depressed thinking that this is as far as you go in life. Stir yourself up. We're talking tonight about restoration, vindication, payback. Sooner or later, the Lord will intervene on your behalf. Some of you have pending cases of abuse, neglect in childhood. Our encouragement is that Krishna will adopt you as his own. Krishna will take you into his custody. Every one of us has unfair things that happen to us. Krishna assures us that he sees it. And if we keep moving forward, he's going to settle our case. Not only is he going to settle our case, but he's going to award punitive damages against the wrongdoers. He will not settle the case just to bring you out, just to put the troubles behind you. But he will settle the case in order to situate you better than you were before. When we see things from this point of view, we realize that our enemies are working for us. Because you overcame a double dose of trouble, you're going to get a double dose of reward. Your enemies did you a favor. Go out and thank them. Buy them a veggie burger or something. When you're going through a difficulty and then you wonder where God is, remember that the teacher is always quiet during the test. Once you pass that testing period, Krishna will settle the case and rule in your favor. You're going to come out better, more thoroughly abundant than you could have ever gotten on your own. I heard about a young soldier who was thoroughly humiliated by his senior officer. The officer had gone way beyond the bounds of acceptable behavior in disciplining the young soldier and knew it. So he said nothing as the younger man muttered through clenched teeth, "I'll make you regret this if it's the last thing I ever do." Interestingly enough, a few days later, their company was under heavy fire. The officer was wounded, cut off from the rest of his troops. Through the haze of the battlefield, he saw a single figure coming to his rescue. It was the young soldier. At the risk of his own life, the young soldier dragged the officer to safety. The officer said apologetically, "Son, I owe you my life." The young man laughed and said, "I told you that I would make you regret humiliating me if it was the last thing that I ever did." Now that kind of revenge is God's kind of revenge. In the final analysis, gentleness, kindness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I'm trusting God to be a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving, I release my right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out. I leave in God's hands the scales that must balance justice and mercy. When you ask why Krishna is taking you through troubled waters, his answer is because your enemies can't swim. Don't get bitter on account of something that was lost or taken from you. Co-worker got your promotion. Friend or family member didn't keep their word, didn't pay you back. Krishna sees the injustice. As you know, when they were kids, Duryodhan tried to kill his cousin brothers, the Pandavas. On one occasion, they gave Bhima a poison cake. Later on, Duryodhan insulted Bhima's wife in the dice game. Shortly thereafter, stole his kingdom, sent Bhima and his brothers into exile for 13 years. The agreement was that when they fulfilled all the conditions and came out of exile, Duryodhan would give them half their land back. However, when that happened and the 13 years had elapsed, Duryodhan refused to give them as much land as would fit under the head of a pin. In the end, Bhima and Duryodhan fought a duel with clubs. During that duel, Krishna gave an unfair, what do you think? From Duryodhana's point of view, right? Krishna gave an unfair advantage to Bhima. What he did was, when the fighting had been going on for several days and neither could get the better of the other, Bhima was stronger, but Duryodhan, having been trained by Balaram, was more expert. When it was pretty much stalemated, Krishna, in the sight of Bhima, did this. He hit the one place on Duryodhan's body where he was vulnerable, and it was below the waist. Not only did Krishna give Bhima the unfair hint about where Duryodhana's vulnerability was, but he also encouraged Bhima to hit his opponent below the waist, which was contrary to the laws of chivalry. In the end, Bhima defeated Duryodhana, left the battlefield to sit on the throne with his brothers, while Duryodhana lay behind on the cold ground surrounded by vultures and jackals who would eventually eat his flesh. Well, what happened there? Krishna restored double. Duryodhana did them a favor. Had he not opposed them, they would have only got back what they lost, and it would have been resented. Here's a quote. If you expect the world to be fair with you because you're fair with the world, you're fooling yourself. It's like expecting the lion not to eat you because you didn't eat him. The ego of this world is that everyone wants to make the rules and then judge others by those made up rules. Prabhupada tells the story of the thieves. The thieves made a robbery, eluded the posse, got somewhere safe in the robber's roost, and then were overheard discussing, "Ah, fellows, divide the stolen properly, fairly." Nations, constitutions, Bill of Rights, isn't it more or less a case of, "Ah, fellows, let's divide the stolen property fairly," because it belongs to God, ultimately. Sarvaloka Maheshwara. And when things don't happen according to people's made-up rules or work out according to their preconceptions, they say life isn't fair. People who say this are, of course, right. Material life is not fair. It never is, never was, never will be. Don't expect it to be. Don't plan on it. Don't count on it, because material life is not fair. Material life doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care whether you're good or bad, right or wrong, faithful or unfaithful. Life in this material world is not fair. Life in the world of matter will knock you down, step on you, kick you in the side, and then run you over for good measure. There's nothing fair about material life. Was life fair to the young mother who drove to the stoplight to wait for the traffic to move, and a man walked up, jerked open the door of her car, snatched her purse, and shot her to death? Was life fair for her? Was life fair to the school teacher who was waiting at the train station for his wife to come from her job, and a gang of teenagers beat him and shot him to death? The tragedy was only increased by the realization that the man was a teacher who gave his time and energy for teenagers in his church and school. Was life fair for him or his family? Was life fair for the world-class Olympic athlete who suffered an injury while playing on the trampoline that left him a quadriplegic? Was life fair for him? Was life fair to the brilliant young surgeon who had the God-given talent to save people's lives, who suffered a rare illness and was totally blinded? Was life fair for him? Was life fair to the man who worked 45 years on the same job and finally retired so he could have some time to do all the things he wanted to do, only to suffer a stroke 1 week later that left him paralyzed? Was life fair to him? Was life fair to the lovely girl who was in an automobile accident and suffered a head injury and has been in a coma for years? Was life fair to her? No. Life in this material world is not fair. Don't count on it. Don't expect it. Why is that? Life down here, if you don't get anything else, get this, please. Life down here in this material world is a reflection of us. Of who we are, of our sinful nature and our broken world. There's nothing about this broken world that's fair. Only God is fair. Whilst we're ranting and raving about so-called fairness, why don't we mention that Krishna, God, warned us against leaving his eternal abode and coming here in the first place. I heard a story about an old Irishman who was critically ill. The family called the priest. The priest, in preparation for the last rites, asked the obvious and expected question. "O'Reilly, do you desire to renounce the devil and all his works?" O'Reilly, who was fully conscious, thought for a moment, said, "Frankly, Father, considering the condition I'm in, I'd rather not antagonize anyone right now." Given the conditions of this material world and the tough times we're in, you'd think we could ill afford to antagonize anyone, especially God. But we do. God commands us first and foremost, "Thou shalt not kill." Did you know that every day in the United States of America, 25 million animals are slaughtered? That adds up to an annual total just in the United States of America of 9 billion. No, life is not fair. Certainly not for the animals that we kill to satisfy our tongues, and certainly not for us, the killers and criminals who break God's laws of compassion and mercy. The poet said we shape ourselves the joys and fears of which the coming life is made and fill our future's atmosphere with sunshine or with shade. Krishna is more than fair. Krishna goes beyond what is fair. A good thing for us that he does. You want fair? Here's a newsflash. Fair is not going to help us very much. Trust me, we don't want fair. We need to stop moaning about unfairness, and we need to start crying, begging, pleading for mercy, for grace. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna heals, Krishna helps, Krishna loves, Krishna guides, Krishna directs, Krishna strengthens, Krishna comforts, Krishna forgives. We're shocked every day with some new and painful reminder that life isn't fair. We learn from this not to put our hopes in this material world, but to put our hopes in Krishna, who did his best to keep us from coming here in the beginning. And not only that, but now that we're here against his advice, he still does everything he can to encourage us going back to home, back to the spiritual world, where everything is full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Bhagavad Gita 8, chapter 16, verse. Abrahma bhuvana loka purnaravatin arjuna mamupeti tu kantya purnar janma navijyate. This material world, from the highest planet of Lord Brahma to the lowest, is a place of birth and death. However, mam upecha, those who surrender unto me, purnar janma, another birth, na. They do not take another birth in this material world, but they attain the highest abode from which no one ever returns again. Yes, Krishna is more than fair. He is good. His goodness is for all living creatures, and it endures forever. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, I have a suggestion. Instead of complaining about unfairness, get up in the morning and say, "Things may seem unfair, but my Creator is merciful, and He will redeem me from every difficulty." Remember, we're not working under people. We're working under Krishna, and He is a God of mercy. There is no greater victory in life than simply surrendering unto His loving care. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If someone is not keeping their word, or playing politics, or not giving you the credit, don't get upset. Don't try to pay them back. Krishna is keeping the record. When someone gives you a double dose of trouble, when things have come against you, remember this is a new day. Payback time is on the way. The Lord sees everything. When He says enough, He will come down and settle the case. Even if the whole world abandons you, He will adopt you as His son. The more trouble that we will faithfully endure, the more will be the rewards. The more aggressive is the enemy, the greater will be the payback. If you'll take the high road, keep moving forward, you will be honored in the presence of your enemies. Get ready for a double dose of Krishna's goodness, a double dose of joy, a double dose of peace, a double dose of prosperity, a double dose of vindication, a double dose of favor, all that in this life, and in the next life, get ready to go back home, back to Godhead, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Thanks very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.